This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Have you been wanting to read more, but don't seem to have the time? Well, with Audible, you can read your books without having to find the extra time in your busy schedule. Stuck in traffic on your way home from work? Why not marathon the Harry Potter books? In the gym and want to learn about the First Lady? Well, you can listen to Becoming Michelle Obama while doing leg day. And if you go to audibletrial.com/cultivate, you get a month free of Audible. That includes one credit that you can trade in for any audiobook of your choice, access to thousands of audiobooks free to listen to with your account, and best of all, you have access to all of your favorite podcasts in the app as well. So be sure to go to my link, audibletrial.com/cultivate. That's C-U-L-T-I-V, the number 8, to sign up for a free month of Audible and start reading today. Thank you, Audible, for supporting the show. Hi, Fred. My name is Josh Shell, host of the Let's Start a Cult podcast, the only podcast that has a feud with Tom Cruise. So far, it's mostly one-sided, but whenever he hears this episode, it's on. And luckily, I have backup, because Alex and Christy from Weird Distractions podcast are back to help me kick Tom Cruise's butt. Are you guys ready for that?
I mean...
Literally, sure. Fine.
Yeah, Christy's ready to throw bar.
Throw down fists.
Yeah, throw bows.
She hates Tom Cruise.
Yeah. I actually do.
That's fair. I don't like him either. He's a weird dude.
I hate his movies. I like physically hate his movies.
We just all became best friends over mutual hate of Tom Cruise. Would you look at that? Bringing people together.
Tom Cruise, bringing people together in not great ways.
Not great ways. No.
Don't forget, Fred, if you would like this episode a week early, go to Cultivate Podcast Network's Patreon at patreon.com/cultivatepodcastnetwork, or use the link in the show notes. If you've already signed up and are listening to this episode a week early, welcome. It's been 5 minutes since you probably heard part one, so nice of you to join us again. But with all that out of the way, let's jump into today's episode. So part two of our deep dive into L. Ron Hubbard and the Church of Scientology. Last week, we talked about the early years of the church, when it was founded, the belief systems that it upholds, and the controversies that have plagued it throughout the years. In this part, we will take a look at how it managed to become accepted as a religion, and the powerful tools it uses to recruit members, including some of the most influential celebrities in Hollywood. So, all the fun stuff. We get to talk about Tom Cruise, finally, which is...
I'm so excited.
Who else? There's a bunch. Elizabeth Moss, and John Travolta. That's the big one.
Yes. Yeah, I was gonna say there's somebody else that's like older.
I didn't know those two.
You didn't know?
Really?
I didn't know.
So I told you the uncultured one, okay?
That's fair. You know what? She probably lives a healthier life than us now that if she didn't know.
Yeah, it's the things that, you know, will just keep you up at night.
Yeah.
I'm happy without it. It's fine.
So, while the Church of Scientology claims that it has millions of parishioners in more than 100 countries across the globe, experts say that the actual number is probably somewhere close to 20,000. So, way less than they claim. This may be significantly far from what the group contains, but it's still a pretty high number for a belief system that wasn't even originally intended to be a religion. In part one, we talked about how he created this religion, but we're going to talk about why probably wasn't supposed to be a religion.
Fair enough.
In Dianetics, the Modern Science of Mental Health, L. Ron Hubbard specifically stated that the ideas he presented were based on science, not religion. He declared, in its opening pages no less, quote, "The first contribution of Dianetics is the discovery that the problems of thought and mental function can be resolved within the bounds of a finite universe, which is to say that all data needful to solutions of mental action and man's endeavor can be measured, sensed, and experienced as scientific truth, independent of mysticism or metaphysics," end quote. Later on in the book, Hubbard would also say, quote, "Once a person has used Dianetics, he will not fall back into mystics' efforts to heal the minds," end quote. Kind of contradictory, right? Like,
that's a lot of words.
He's still on that penny writing shit. Like, he's throwing every word out there.
I'll sum it up. Basically, he's saying if you use Dianetics, which is the mindfulness thing that he espouts, you won't need religion or mysticism to dumb it down from his word jumble.
Which is interesting because it's like, well, once you do it, you won't need me, but I'm going to keep you because you'll never get there.
I think it's funny because Dianetics starts as like a scientific, quote unquote, idea, and then it merges into a religion.
Right.
Which contradicts its original like the statements.
Hubbard.
Yeah. These statements have led scholars to believe that Hubbard initially wanted his ideas to be considered a science rather than a religion. But he eventually declared it to be as such when he realized that doing so would not only enable him to avoid paying taxes, but would also protect him from being scrutinized by medical and mental health regulators as well.
I mean, I'm not saying he's the smartest person in the world, but he saw an opportunity and he'd write all of those. Yeah.
He's a businessman doing businessman things.
Yeah. Yeah, I am scrutinizing him. So,
I'm Christy's
career. I am the health provider.
Yeah. Full on judging.
Yeah, he's a dick. So, experts have also pointed out that Hubbard was in dire financial straits during the 1950s. In December 1952, he was ordered by the court to make restitution for over $9,000 that he was accused of taking from the bankrupt Scientology chapter in Wichita, Kansas. Ooh. Perhaps this had driven him to capitalize on the rising popularity to turn his ideology into a full-fledged religion. Given all of these circumstances, most scholarships agree that Scientology was never intended on being a religion. It just morphed into that out of financial needs, basically. And
cover his butt in some way.
Yeah.
It's basically coming from like one man's desperation.
That's exactly what it is.
The whole picture of desperation, yes.
Yeah.
Which I think surprises no one, but it is interesting to dive into. So,
yeah.
Nonetheless, in his article titled "The Creation of Religious Scientology," researcher Stephen Kent even concludes, quote, "Economic circumstances and social pressure propelled Hubbard first to transform his Dianetics creation into the grander system of Scientology, then to assert his scientific creation actually was religious in nature. Critics of the organization who understand these transformations often resist its contemporary religious presentation, believing that it continues to use religion as an expedient device to gain the freedoms to operate with minimal government interference," end quote. Hubbard may not have originally intended to establish an entirely new religion, but by 1953, it was clear that he was heading down this path. In December of that year, he incorporated the Church of Scientology and the Church of American Science. A few months later, he created the Church of Scientology in California, which he stated was a subsidiary of the Church of American Science. The way Hubbard phrased his articles of incorporation made it appear that the Church of American Science was an actual Christian church. For instance, part of his charter read, quote, "To train and indoctrinate ministers and brothers and sisters in principles and teachings of the Church of American Science, to resolve the travel and difficulties of members of congregations as they may obtain to the Spirit, to conduct seminars and instruction groups," end quote.
I'm so confused with this man.
And like, he picked Christianity, which is like a huge thing for a lot of people, so I was like, I have a problem with that.
So it continues. So the creed states, quote, "That God works within man, his wonders to perform, that man his own soul, basically free and immortal, but deluded by the flesh, that man has God-given rights to his own life, that man has God-given rights to his own belief, that a civilization is lost when God and the spirits are forgotten by its own leaders and its people," end quote. He just basically takes Christianity teachings and then phrases it with a little bit more science in it so that he can come across as a religion.
He's kind of like a half-ass man when it comes to the things. He starts these projects and then fails or gets to a point where it's like, yeah, I don't really want to do this anymore. And then
bows out.
And this whole Christianity thing, it's like, okay, I'm just going to copy, paste, change a couple words, and then it's mine, right? Yeah.
Control F and filled in a few science words.
It's like, okay, how do I make this sound less Christian-y and more science-y? And that was that blurb.
And he picked a huge population that could like bring in a lot of people for its followings.
Yeah. So it already has that buddy-buddy with Christianity so that it makes it easier for people to cross over, you know, make that change.
Exactly.
I think if he went with Buddha, I don't know if a lot of North American would transfer over to that, but
Christianity is just like that Well, it's such a big religion that it's kind of like trying to become part of the popular group in high school. It's like if you're friends with one of them, you kind of slowly become friends with all of them, and then you're in, right? Yeah. So if you rub shoulders with, you know, such a big religion, eventually you will become one.
Yeah, you'll get the name recognition for sure.
Exactly.
And it kind of worked. I mean, thanks to Hubbard's popularity and the masterful propaganda, it didn't take long before Scientology had become widely regarded as an actual religion. In 1955, a mere year after a church in California was established, another one was formed in Auckland, New Zealand. Dozens of ministers were also recruited and made to undergo an intensive course on how to perform a number of sacred ceremonies, including a wedding, a christening, and a funeral. By July 1957, more than 100 Scientology churches existed in the United States, leading Hubbard to believe that it was time to formally apply for tax-exemption status. This was initially So as we talked about, this was initially granted, but a decade later, the Internal Revenue Services revoked the privileges because he stole all that money.
Yeah, the IRS doesn't like that shit.
No, they do not.
No, damn.
So they were taking a tithe of at least 10% from the church, and the couple also frequently received monetary gifts, including one that amounted to approximately $108,000.
I'm sorry, for what?
I would like that gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I could finally buy a goddamn house.
Plus, I don't...
That's the 50s, right? So it's probably like... $900,000. That's a lot of money, especially more than half a million.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. The battle between Church of Scientology and the IRS continued long after Hubbard's death in January 1986. Members frequently resorted to using aggressive and at times illegal tactics to get the agency to formally recognize their organization as an actual religion. So they're just at war with the IRS.
I just picture it as, you know, a younger sibling versus an older sibling. It's like, I'm important too. I deserve this as well. It's
Mom
like,
said I'm special.
Yeah. Mom and Dad said it was okay. I can get the TV remote now. Yeah. Like it's very
back and forth.
Pick me vibes.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's a good TikTok term. We'll be in with the Gen Z crowd now.
They're all tuning in. They're like, I know what this means.
I know,
I get
pick
it.
Me. So easily the most infamous operation was Operation Snow White, which we briefly touched upon.
Yeah.
Which involved several Scientologists, including Hubbard's wife, Mary Sue, to infiltrating the Department of Justice and the IRS to bug their offices, copy important documents, and retrieve internal information about their activities. Every single one of them was eventually convicted and sentenced to prison, although Hubbard remained free because the authorities were unable to connect him to the project.
Oh my gosh. I mean, come on. He's right there.
His third wife goes to jail, and I can only imagine he finds someone else later on. But
probably. The day she was sentenced, he probably was already...
On to the next.
Yeah. He's like, well...
According to Stacey Young, a former senior Scientologist, quote, "The IRS was not giving Scientology its tax exemption, so they were considered to be a pretty major enemy. What you do with an enemy is you go after them, harass them, and intimidate them and try to expose their crimes until they decide to play ball with you. The whole idea was to create a coalition that was at an arm's length from Scientology so that it had more credibility," end quote. So basically, bribe, cheat, steal until you win. That's their goal.
Not a smart way to go about it, as
not with
you
the U.S.
know,
government. No,
yeah,
they don't fuck with that too often.
No,
they're
and
for you,
well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, okay, we want them to play ball, so we're going to do all this shady shit, and then expect them just to go back and forth with us. It's like, no, they're going to arrest your ass.
They shut us down for doing illegal stuff. Let's do more illegal stuff and see if we can counteract it.
Yeah,
two negatives. Negatives make a positive. That's what it's
called. Oh my god, these people. It's sad to hear that these are like grown adults that are just so sucked into this theory, like this mindset of, if we keep screaming at them, they will give us what we want.
They will listen.
Yes.
So the group that Sarah Young was referring to was the National Coalition of IRS Whistleblowers, an organization that the Church of Scientology established and financed. On the surface, It provided the support to individuals who wanted to go public with allegations of corruption within the agency, but were afraid of the backlash that they would inevitably receive. For instance, in 1989, the coalition helped spark a series of congressional hearings after it proved that the IRS officials in Los Angeles had bought property from a firm that at the time was being audited by the agency, which is a huge no-no.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah. Shortly after the purchase, the audit was dropped without the company paying any penalties. So they basically threatened the IRS to give up their claims with a bunch of lawsuits.
Yikes.
It was also said that the Church in Scientology approached a private investigator named Octo Pena, which is a great name. Oh, that's Octavo Pena. It's even better.
Oh, even, yeah, here for it.
Yeah. Offering to pay him $1 million if he found evidence proving that the IRS was corrupt. Another detective named Michael Schomer, less cool name, but...
Yeah, not as great.
That's why he was the second detective. He claimed that he too was given the same offer. So, according to an article on the Carnegie Mellon University website, quote, describing his work on behalf of Scientology in a series of interviews, Schomer said that he and his boss, Thomas Krywacki, worked for the church for at least 18 months in 1990 and 1991. Working from his office in Maryland, he said that he set up a phony operation, the Washington News Bureau, to pose as a reporter to gather information about the church critics. He also said that he infiltrated IRS conferences to gather information about officials who might be skipping meetings, drinking too much, or having affairs. End quote.
Yeah. It's getting their people business.
Well, and do these people that are like starting all this stuff not have things to do? Like, I'm just wondering how well kept their living spaces are. If they have children, do they have other jobs? Where so much time seems to be invested in this?
Yeah. So my thought is like they are the church leaders, so they're definitely, you know, lining their pockets with their followers' money, because Hubbard's out now, right?
Right.
And they are wanting to get that tax exemption, you know, reinstated. So they're looking at all ways to try and get the IRS to give them that back. So they figure just pouring money into fucking with the IRS is the best way to go about it. So they're probably fine.
Yeah.
It is shitty that this detective was like, sure, we'll do it for 18 months. Jesus Christ, man.
I think it's funny that they're pouring in like their own money made from their own corruption to get people to find out their corruption. I was like, what are you doing?
Well, yeah. And like, how much money are they really going to save with this tax exemption?
Like, if you're making millions and millions of dollars, like that's a lot of taxes you're taking off. Yeah. I don't know exactly what it is. It's America, so it's probably less taxes than here. But
yeah, it's not as much as Canadian.
Yeah,
but I would not know the tax break because I don't have that privilege of making millions of dollars.
Neither do I.
Not relate, but yeah, it's just you have to wonder the amount of energy they're putting into getting this tax exemption. What they could have done if they just weren't so up their own asses, right? Like how much actual good things they could have provided to society, but instead they're like, you know what, we really need this tax exemption, let's just
focus on this.
Let's focus and fuck with the IRS.
Let's not invest our money to make more money. Let's fuck with the IRS until they get us a tax exemption. Sadly, these tactics ultimately worked, and on October 8th, 1993, thousands of Scientologists gathered at the Los Angeles Sports Arena to celebrate the reinstatement of their tax exemption status. The news sent shockwaves across the United States, and today, scholars believe that it played a critical role in Scientology's global campaign for acceptance as a legitimate mainstream religion. But do you guys know who won't blackmail you or harass you into giving them tax exempt status?
Oh, I don't know. Who?
Probably the services and products that support this show. I hope not.
I mean, that would be really great if they didn't. So fingers crossed they don't.
If I get down on my luck enough, though, maybe.
You never know.
They offer me millions of dollars, so I'll maybe sell. But enjoy some ads. We are back. No more blackmail. We have tax exemption status. We're all No one has to pay taxes who listens to this show.
Yes.
I'm saying it.
It's been approved by us, but if you ask your lawyer or your accountant about it,
they
might not know about it yet. So just give it a couple weeks.
It may vary depending on which country you're in. And by that, I mean any country, because I have no say in any of that. But besides its tax exemption status, Hubbard also invested in ensuring that the Church of Scientology welcomed influential figures into its ranks. For him, doing so was important because celebrities could access opportunities and communication lines that were unavailable to the general public. In 1969, he established the Celebrity Center International, a department located near Hollywood Boulevard that was also described as a hub for artists, politicians, leaders of the industry, sports figures, and anyone with the power and vision to create a better world, end quote. He also created an internal newsletter called Project Celebrity, in which he regularly talked about his desires to recruit A-listers like the actors Orson Welles and Greta Garbo, as well as the entrepreneur and film producer Walt Disney. He also even tried to approach Elvis Presley. Unbeknownst to Hubbard, his dreams would one day be realized. After his death, his successor, David Miscavige, managed to recruit a number of Hollywood celebrities, including Tom Cruise, John Travolta, Christy Alley, and Annie Archer, all of whom have since become poster children for Scientology. So that's quite a list. And I think there are more, but I don't know if they're all A-listers.
I didn't know that Christy Alley was one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised, but I'm also,
I can see her very much like everything very fad-wise, yes.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. I don't know if she still is. I imagine she probably is.
But probably.
There are a lot of celebrities who join and then leave as well. Because, like you said, the fad thing.
Yeah. They have a reflection of, oh, shit. What am I doing?
These people are crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. $300 a session? No thanks.
Yeah, yeah. The church also reportedly tried to recruit Elvis Presley again and Michael Jackson, as well as power couples Will and Jada Smith and David and Victoria Beckham.
Wow.
According to rumors, Elvis once said, quote, "There's no way I'll ever get involved with that son of a bitch group. All they want is my money."
They do.
He wasn't wrong.
No. And if that doesn't make you love Elvis more, I don't know what will. But
yeah.
Ironically, though, his ex-wife Priscilla and their daughter Lisa Maria were both devoted Scientologists for decades.
Rough.
It's unfortunate. Arguably, its most famous member is Tom Cruise, who, since becoming a Scientologist in 1990, has been rumored to be micromanaged by Miscavige and his fellow leaders. For instance, there was allegations that the church had forced him to divorce his second wife, Nicole Kidman, because her father was a renowned psychologist in her native Australia. That was probably not all, but and this is basically proven true that he, like, I think Nicole Kidman has come out and said they coerced him into divorcing her.
Wow.
And she's better off now.
Well, I'm totally better off. Yeah. My favorite picture on the internet is of her walking out. I think it was like of her of the courthouse or her divorce lawyers.
Oh yeah, where she's like celebrating.
holding the papers in her hand, like, fuck yeah, I'm not married to Tom Cruise anymore. Yeah. That is just forever my favorite photo. But it's scary how powerful this group is that you're paying into and how much it influences you because you're paying into it, right?
Yeah.
Like, to force you to divorce someone that you're supposedly in love with just because their parent has a different belief system.
Yeah.
Right? It's so, to me,
very micromanaging.
Very micromanaging and just not a... I don't know how people can continue to join, but that's just my two cents.
Yeah, it's definitely not a good thing. And it is weird. Like, someone with his status can be controlled. Like, that's the scary part. You know what I mean? Like, he has all the money, all the power, all the influence he could ever want.
Exactly.
How is he being controlled? Like, it's weird. It's weird.
It's a weird dynamic. Yeah, because he's paying them for, you know, whatever reason he has to pay them. Yeah. So he's already giving himself to them, and then they're turning around and saying, okay, you now have to do this. It's like, dude, you're already paying them. Like, they're not, there's no,
they must be feeding something for them to like want to stay.
Yeah. There must be something offered.
That's very true. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's not all. The church was also said to have played a role in his separation from his third wife, Katie Holmes. She allegedly divorced Tom Cruise after finding out he was planning to enroll their daughter, Suri, in a Scientology recruitment school.
Yeah,
big red flag. Some even went so far as to claim that the couple's divorce settlement included a clause that permanently banned him from involving his daughter in the church, which is smart.
Super smart. Good for her.
Yeah. You know it's bad when,
don't ever come for me.
Yeah.
She seemed like, to me, it's weird that she even married him if she was against it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
you had to have known at that point he was so involved in it that he would do something stupid like that.
Yeah. And like, it goes beyond their relationship, obviously. Like, it's just crazy how enticed, like how in, what's the word I'm trying to say? So wrapped up in it, right? Mm-hmm. That he's literally jeopardizing his own family and relationships. But that's a cult.
That is a cult. Exactly. That is exactly what it is. You want to be in the in crowd. So Cruise was first introduced to Scientology by his first wife. So all of his relationships are involved with Scientology somehow.
Of course.
Mimi Rogers, whose father was once a high-ranking member. However, he only became enamored by it when his severe dyslexia was purportedly cured by the technologies and programs that the church promoted.
Mm-hmm.
But there were allegations that his recruitment was a calculated process that was personally overseen by David Miscavige. According to Nancy Manny, a former member who worked with celebrities at the church's C organization, quote, I knew some people who kid-gloved Tom Cruise into becoming a member. Everything was orchestrated and orientated. Tom has a problem reading. So do I, apparently. So they don't have him doing the course on his own and paired him up one-on-one. So usually people do it solo, but they paired him up to make it easier for him to learn the course.
Right. Yeah, then would make it more welcoming and warm, right?
Yeah, yeah. He was matched up with a wonderful, wonderful man who was a hero in Vietnam and was part of a group in the Tet Offense held down by the Viet Cong. It was done on purpose. The manipulation is often unseen by the person being manipulated, end quote. It very much sounds like he was tricked into thinking that he was cured, which is weird because I feel he has to read scripts. I don't know how that works.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I wonder what he had to do before then, right? To read scripts.
Right.
Like, I mean, I'm not really well-versed when it comes to dyslexia treatment, so I don't know how intense it can be or what the specific guidelines are, but I would assume, like speculating wildly here, that it's probably something that you have to continuously work on and be very like rigorous with a routine, right? So the fact that they're like, okay, well, now it's cured and you don't have to do this anymore.
Probably not true. I don't know how that part worked. Is he still dyslexic or
maybe someone reads the scripts to them?
That could be it too. Yeah, maybe he just has an earpiece in every movie, and
I wouldn't be surprised.
They just edit it out in post.
Yeah, exactly.
Some guy behind the screen. Okay, say this now, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, now say this.
Besides Tom Cruise, another famous celebrity member is the actor John Travolta, who's best known for his leading roles in Pulp Fiction and Saturday Night Fever. He became a Scientologist in 1975. And credits the church with helping him cope with the death of his eldest son, who in 2009 sustained fatal injuries during a seizure. I mean, I guess, yeah, if they're your friends and family, basically, they're going to help you through a situation like that. That it is a sad situation, but...
Oh, for sure. But you're also paying these people. So, of course, you're going to do it. Yeah, of course. You've been paying them since the 1979, you said?
Five.
Well, even longer, right? Mm-hmm. So you've literally invested their lives. Of course, they're going to play a front and say like, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss, and be there for you emotionally because you were paying them to be there.
Exactly. That's the least you can expect is them to be there for you. I mean,
low bar.
yeah. You can walk over that bar. So Travolta is probably one of the most devoted celebrity members of Scientology. Besides speaking candidly about his membership during interviews, the church's official website also quotes him as saying, As a Scientologist, I have the technology to handle life's problems, and I have used this to help others in life as well. I would say Scientology put me into the big time, end quote. I don't know. I think you're good acting, probably.
Yeah.
Like, put you in there.
Yeah. And it's technology. Like, I just, yeah. What does he mean? What does he mean?
Well, I think it's supposed to be vague so that you question it and then you learn about it and then you get indoctrinated.
Right.
I feel that's probably what it is.
More than likely.
Because I can imagine as a millionaire, you can have any technology at your disposal. So.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%.
You don't need them for that. No.
Yeah, you don't need Scientology for that. You just have money. So therefore,
go buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't need religion when you have money. All your problems are solved.
Basically.
So without a doubt, many people have been drawn to Scientology because of the influence of celebrity members like Tom Cruise and John Travolta. But the church is also known for its powerful recruitment tools. For instance, it uses a personality test that, according to experts, builds an air of scientific legitimacy that makes it easier to sell to potential members. It's said that the results of the personality test will always indicate that something is wrong with the person, no matter what their answers are.
You don't need a test for that.
Yeah. All your faults, so we can suck you in.
To be fair, people applying, maybe they do have something wrong with them, but
well, exactly. I think that's an automatic red flag if you're applying to Scientology. Yeah. But yeah, that's. I mean,
I'm paying to be roasted.
Basically.
Yeah, you fill out all these quizzes. It's like, how are you with your family? Like, what's home life like? And then at the end, it's like, you have a weird head. And it's like, God damn it.
I knew I shouldn't have answered that question that way. Damn it. Yeah.
Yeah. I knew I should have said I was closer with my mom. Damn it. So it's basically just a bunch of bullshit to convince people to join.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it doesn't end there. Potential recruits are also made to undergo a stress test, wherein the church's infamous E-meter is used. During this stage, the administrator tries to figure out their ruin, which, according to the organization's ex-Scientologist, is, quote, an insecurity or psychological button that can be used against a person to make that person think that they need Scientology, end quote. So that's their, quote unquote, ruin.
Basically their trigger. Like, what's their trigger? So if we know it, we can then bring it up and say, well, you need us because we know all about you and we can help you, right? That's so...
Which is horrible.
That is some...
real mindfuck.
Well, some serious manipulation. Like that...
Imagine like having a World War II vet who's like going through this and it's like...
Yeah.
They just play like a bombing raid in the room or something like that just to like trigger
them. And then turn around and say, well, you need us because, you know, we know how to help that. We can do an audit and make you clear. It's like, of course someone's going to buy into that, especially if they're already triggered.
You're causing them more PTSD.
PTSD. Yeah. Oh my God.
You're doing the opposite of what they need.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh God. Besides legitimizing themselves by using these seemingly scientific tools, the Church of Scientology also takes advantage of those who have gone through emotional or psychological trauma. For instance, Bindi Irwin, the daughter of renowned crocodile hunter Steve Irwin, was once rumored to be a candidate because of her grief over her father's death.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't like that. Don't like that at all.
Luckily, she's got a good head on her shoulders and did not join, I believe, so.
Smart girl. Smart.
I think of the family and her and the brother do the show again like their dad.
Oh, do they actually?
Yeah, I saw that on TikTok actually today, I think, which is...
Wow, that's cool. Weird,
so, yeah. The church also reportedly capitalizes on natural disasters and other catastrophes. For instance, Scientologists passed out flyers after the 2019 Christchurch Mosque massacre in New Zealand. An official spokesperson also said that the mobile ministers were deployed to provide assistance in Indonesia after it was hit by a massive earthquake. So, yeah. Great stuff.
I just am wondering why they're put... so many things are going through my mind and they're all not good thoughts. So we should just...
Pieces of shit.
Stuff like this is like... Because churches do this too, which...
Yeah.
Like actual churches.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like... And I mean, I'm sure some of them, like some ministers or like... some leaders in the church are like doing it out of their goodness of their heart, but it's like those mega churches that are like definitely grifting off of
1,000%. Like the ones, the ones that are honing in on, your town just burnt to the ground. You should come stay with us. Come stay with us, join our church, and then we'll help you rebuild again from the inside. No, it's like you are literally, it just seems as if Scientology is trying to take over the most broken down person and try to make them believe that they, Scientology, can help them build themselves up again, no matter what scenario. And every time it's, okay, but if you give me more money, I can help you build. No. Give me more money. Give me more money and I can help you. And then we'll do an audit and then you'll be clear. But that's going to be like 17 sessions down the road.
So. Yeah. That'll be thousands of dollars later. You'll be cured.
And bankrupt.
But you'll be happier, apparently, maybe.
I don't know about that.
Your mental health will be so amazing. You'll never have to see a mental health professional ever again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, these allegations have been denied by the church, though. In response to an article published by Los Angeles Magazine, a spokesperson said, quote, "What has been said about us is all too often pure propaganda. It is inaccurate and intentionally avoids showing who Scientologists really are and what we do. Propagandists look to capitalize on the growing curiosity about Scientology. They have manufactured controversies where there are none, while refusing to show the church, its organizations, its humanitarian programs, as well as unprecedented growth worldwide. That is the real story, a dynamic movement and crusade spanning the globe, helping people live better and happier lives from Los Angeles to Johannesburg to Tokyo." End quote.
Here's your plate of bullshit.
It's everyone's talking bad about us. They're not seeing how great we are. But in reality, it's okay, but these people could be coming from a very compassionate, maybe even empathetic point of view, but the fact that you have to pay in with a promise of things will get better the more you buy into it
is a red flag.
It's a red flag.
Yeah, big red flag. Right? Yeah, no, you're right. And it is sad, like, that so many people are in it. Like, it is the biggest cult that I've talked about.
Yeah, it's massive.
Yeah. L. Ron Hubbard may not have set out to establish an entirely new religion, but that's exactly what he did. The Church of Scientology has certainly come a long way from its roots as an ideology created by a science fiction writer looking to make more money. Today, it is widely regarded as an actual religion that has thousands of members and hundreds of local chapters across the globe. Despite the many controversies that have plagued it throughout the years, the Church of Scientology remains strong, its ranks swelled by its masterful propaganda and the presence of celebrity members who continually draw potential recruits. And that is the bleak end of the Church of Scientology.
Very bleak, yes.
Yeah.
Maybe, doom and gloom.
Might be a part three if they do something crazy soon, but...
No kidding. 2022, you never know with Scientology what they set up to do.
They have turned to COVID stuff too. If you go to their website, they talk
about it. Doesn't surprise me. No.
So that is the end. Now, we didn't do this first part, but now that we're done, we can do the cult critiques. So this is the part of the episode where my guests and I talk about the cult we just covered and give it a rating out of 5 stars on how well it did as a cult. There is no hard and fast rule about how you do the rating. So it could be like a 1 star and say it was a great cult, or you can give it a 5 star and say it was a great cult, whatever you want. So what would you guys like to give the Church of Scientology for its rating?
I'll let you
do a joint rating or a separate rating, whatever you guys want to do.
I would like to give no stars, but
I would give no stars if I could.
But I guess 1 star.
No star. They spit in my food.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. They are terrible people. I'd go the opposite way. And this might be just because it is like a successful cult. So I would go 5 stars just because of how successful it is.
That's what I was thinking in the sense of rating it from 1 to 5 on how successful it's been. It's definitely a 5 out of 5 because how massive it is in terms of how good
it is.
It is like the humanitarianism behind it. I give it.
That's where I went.
Yeah. Nothing.
Like, you're how does it make me feel inside? And you're like, 0.
I don't
feel like shit.
Feel like shit. They definitely are buying into the whole fad industry, right? Where it's, how to lose 30 pounds in 2 minutes, basically, kind of mentality. You know, if you continuously buy into getting better, you will get better. And I mean, I guess some could argue that that is how some like certain private mental health practices go. I mean, if you're a private counselor, you can definitely charge a crap ton of money to do your therapy. But most times in those situations, you're helping someone work on a goal and there's an end date to that goal, right?
Right.
Whereas with Scientology, I'm not getting that vibe. I'm getting the vibe of you continuously pay us.
There's no end goal.
And
no.
You're just going to keep paying us and you're going to keep supplying our income on the promise that you're eventually going to get better, but you don't.
And they're manipulating you into it by saying that you have something wrong with you when you might not. You might just be a normal person with normal trauma and normal, you know what I mean?
Normal head size.
And yeah. Normal head size. God damn it.
Damn it. It is normal.
And yeah, sure, you could probably benefit from seeing a psychologist or whatever. I'm not sure. Psychologist or something like that. But what you're going to get from an auditor is not that. You're going to get a false, like a Hollywood style version of what a psychologist is. You're going to get nothing. Yeah. And it's not going to help you. And it's just going to continually keep you in this terrible relationship, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a vicious cycle of you keep paying in, expecting you're going to get better, and then you don't. And then you're reminded of your fault. So then you keep paying in.
Yeah.
And it just goes around and around. And I think the problem with that is that people get stuck because they've invested so much money into it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
they don't want to leave because they're like, well, I put so much in.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
It is sad. And I feel they also probably blackmail people into staying in, you know, and they have
1,000%.
They convince you to bring your family. So then your family's indoctrinated. So it makes it harder to get out, you know,
your friends. They make it hard to move. It's very, you know, it's a manipulation tool, right? Because the more ties you have in, the harder it is to cut away from those ties, especially when you no longer hold the scissors, right? If you're giving your money, your being, your everything to an agency that doesn't necessarily, well, probably doesn't have your best interest in mind. definitely doesn't. Then of course, you know, you're going to get wrapped up in it and they're not necessarily going to just freely hand you the scissors and say, okay, that's fine. Bye. Like, no, you get in those situations where, as we've kind of mentioned in part one, where it gets probably scary for ex-members to leave because they get threatened and blackmailed and basically persecuted for
leaving,
protecting themselves or won't hurt them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's hope we don't get attacked.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have that large of a reach. Maybe Tom Cruise will hear it and then we'll be knocking on my door next week, but let's hope not. Let's wrap that up and we'll leave it at that. So Alex, Christy, it's time for your plugs. So please tell my audience about Weird Distractions Podcast and where they can find it.
Well, if you heard us on part one, we'll kind of basically just regurgitate that we talk about true crime, conspiracy theories, paranormal stories, folklore, urban legends, a little bit of this and, well, a little bit of that to provide kind of a we consider and what probably society considers a weird distraction from everyday life. You can find us over on Apple Podcasts, Good Pod, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, like basically basically any platform and everywhere. We're on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook.
You search us, you'll find us.
Yeah, basically.
If you type in Weird Distractions Podcast, probably nothing else will come up. So.
Hopefully not. I mean, I keep tracking and nothing else pops up. So
You guys are first in my feed. So.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, cool.
That's all I can say about it. So yeah, definitely check them out. You guys have a ton of episodes. I don't know how many, but.
Oh, gosh. We
just did 91?
We just recorded 91.
Oh, okay.
Oh. But yeah, we're hitting 100 soon. So we're.
Jeez.
We're getting there.
So if you need a weird distraction from your entire 2022, definitely go check them out. They've got you covered for almost every day for the first third of the year.
Yes. And thank you so much for having us on. We'll definitely have to have you on at some point in this year and talk about another cult. Cause we need to talk about more cults on our show, I think.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good to me. So look out for that episode as well. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Good Pods, and now Spotify. That's right. If you're listening on Spotify, you can finally rate the podcast. If you really love this episode, go to patreon.com/cultivatepodcastnetwork or use the link in the show notes to get access to a ton of other bonus content from shows on our network. Thank you very much for listening. And thank you again to Alex and Christy for coming on. We will see you guys next time. You can say bye.
Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Have you been wanting to read more, but don't seem to have the time? Well, with Audible, you can read your books without having to find the extra time in your busy schedule. Stuck in traffic on your way home from work? Why not marathon the Harry Potter books? In the gym and want to learn about the First Lady? Well, you can listen to Becoming Michelle Obama while doing leg day. And if you go to audibletrial.com/cultivate, you get a month free of Audible. That includes one credit that you can trade in for any audiobook of your choice, access to thousands of audiobooks free to listen to with your account, and best of all, you have access to all of your favorite podcasts in the app as well. So be sure to go to my link, audibletrial.com/cultivate. That's C-U-L-T-I-V, the number 8, to sign up for a free month of Audible and start reading today. Thank you, Audible, for supporting the show.